Our featured BBB Wise Giving Alliance accredited charity seal holders for this episode are Store to Door, Treasure Coast Food Bank, United Spinal Association. To find out more about these and other BBB Wise Giving Alliance accredited charities, go to give.org.
You're listening to the Heart of Giving podcast with Art Taylor, powered by bbbgive.org. Here we explore the motivations that form the basis of giving and service. We inspire generosity and celebrate the transformative effects that giving and service have on the human spirit and on community. The conversations featured on the podcast also uncover giving strategies that educate and provide tools to help listeners make impactful gifts of both their time and money. We hope you enjoy this episode.
This is the Heart of Giving podcast, powered by bbbgive.org. Give.org is the nation's standards-based charity evaluator, and it's your one-stop source for information on giving and reports on the most asked about charities. I'm Art Taylor. You know, today we're going to talk about how influencers and celebrities, in particular local celebrities, can play a role. Celebrity media people we're talking about now, it can play a role in providing social good. And the person who's my guest today is someone who actually introduced me to the world of podcasting. At the time, she was hosting the podcast that the BBB had called The Bistro. And she was the person who interviewed me about giving at the time. And the BBB didn't have a podcast completely devoted to charity. And so that put into my head to one day create a podcast that was devoted to giving and serving. So my guest didn't know it, but she was also one of the inspirations behind this show. And so today we have with us Elaine Espinola Keltz, who is an influencer. She's a local celebrity, a media person. You see her everywhere in the DC area these days. And she was also formerly Mrs. DC USA. I've just followed her over the last 6 or 7 years or so, and it's just remarkable not only how she's evolved in her own right, but also how she does that in a way that gives back. And so we're going to talk about that today. Elaine, welcome to the Heart of Giving podcast.
Art, thank you so much for having me. It's so great to see you. And thank you for those really kind words.
Well, I like to give people flowers, especially when they're deserved. And sometimes we don't even realize how we influence people or how we affect them. What little tidbits of information we pass on or experiences that lays a foundation for something new. And that's what you did for me without even knowing it. So
I had no idea until you just said that. So I love that. Thank you for sharing.
I should have let you know long ago, but this
Yeah, that was such a great experience, that podcast for the Better Business Bureau, and meeting you and so many great people. What a phenomenal experience. That was my first time actually professionally podcasting as well.
Well, there we go. We both learned something.
Yeah.
Well, Elaine, you know, you've come a long way since that time. Mm-hmm. And I want to get into a little bit of your background, if you don't mind, because this is always a part of the show where people can begin to see themselves, if not in the specific career choice that you made, certainly in the path that led the person to that career choice that they have, and to how it links and connects with giving back. And in your case, it was through the media. So I would love to understand, first of all, what your orientation was to getting involved in media, and then how you tied that so artfully into giving back.
Well, thank you. Thank you for, again, the great question. And I do love talking about it because it's been a really fun journey, one that I didn't exactly plan out, but that has unfolded in the last decade into something that I'm really proud of and that I really love. And you're right, there has been quite a lot of really cool service organizations that I have partnered with for the last 10 years, some of which the last 5 years, and they mean so much to me. So I think where media started for me, and you're right, it has provided a really large platform for me to share some of these really, really great organizations and what they're doing. But Art, I was, as a career, I was a pharmaceutical sales representative for about a decade.
How about that?
So that was my career. And then I had children and I kind of stepped back and I started working really, really hard with my three little kids at home. Woo! And it was during that time that, you know, I was doing the mom thing and I realized that I kind of missed, you know, being a drug rep, if you will, or a pharmaceutical rep. You're out and about, you're all dressed up, you're talking to doctors, you're doing lunches, dinners. And I guess I kind of missed it. So I was always looking for something to do in addition to being a great mom with my kids. And I started doing all these cool little, you know, sales jobs, stay at home things. And I think I was out and about kind of pitching one of these. It was like makeup at the time. And long story short is that a friend of a friend saw a picture of myself with someone else as I was pitching this business. And she was the director of Mrs. DC America. So she reached out to this friend and said, who's your friend and how do you know her and what's going on? And so that began this Mrs. DC America journey where she reached out, are you interested? And honestly, I wasn't. I never even heard of a Mrs. pageant. I knew what everyone else knew, which is what you watched on TV. Miss America, Miss USA, Miss Universe, whatever. But a Mrs. pageant, I was not familiar with that. But she was persuasive. And I thought, you know what? Why not? Why not? Why not? If I do it and I don't win, don't care, never heard of it. And if I do, who knows? I don't know. So I took a little leap and I did that little thing. And then when I won, and I always joke that, you know, that famous picture of a woman with her hands, you know, like, oh my gosh, I was really like, I genuinely was like, it was almost like, what did I just get myself into? Really? What is this? What does this mean? I just went along with it, wear the dress, do this stuff. But then I thought, oh boy, what did I just get myself into? And it turned out to be wonderful, but it was a commitment. I was contractually obligated to 4 to 6 appearances a month. But luckily, the PR director she's a phenomenal woman, a fierce, she's a veteran, she's a woman. I mean, I learned a lot from her. And that was sort of the introduction into both kind of being out there in the DC scene and a lot of service. For pageantry, it's a lot of service. That's your job. You know, you align yourself with certain nonprofits. You're not getting paid per se. You know, you're out there promoting great causes. And DC, there's no shortage of that. And she's a great PR director. So next thing you know, it was, you know, hey, this veteran organization wants you to speak, or this organization wants you to give away this award at this event. And it was a really fun year. And I did a lot of that. And I networked a lot and I met a lot of people. And it was actually during that year, Mrs. DC America, that I was at an event and I was speaking with a woman who said, well, gosh, you just have this great presence. Have you ever been on TV? You speak so well. You're very intelligent, lots of great things to say. And I said, no. And she said, well, I'm a producer. And boom, that's how that started. She said, I'm a producer and I have a show. It's on community cable, but I've been looking for a host. I've just been sitting here with all my show hours waiting for this host. How would you like to do it? And I said, great. And I ended up doing that for a total of 5 years. And what was great about it, it being community cable, we could talk about to a degree whatever we wanted. We weren't selling things, you know, so it was really just about passion things we were interested in. She gave me a lot of creative freedom and I had a lot of passions for nonprofits. And so I really just thought to myself, what deserves to be heard? What messages need more attention? And I just found myself in this niche of bringing on a lot of nonprofit founders and letting them share their story. And it's something I'm most proud of. It's my days at community cable, talking to nonprofit founders and letting them share their story.
Now, I would imagine you have had lots of interesting conversations with people, but are there any that really stand above and beyond for you that you'd want to share with us today?
Oh, I would love to. Thank you for for asking that question. There's two. One is a nonprofit that I'm very closely aligned with. I'm a board member, an advisory board member, and that's Touching Heart. The founder is Helen Yee, and I had herself and her daughter, who is her co-founder, and that's the story of how this nonprofit came together, was this mom and daughter. And I've had them on the show probably three or four times to talk about what Touching Heart is. And I was so enamored with their story and what they're trying to do for kids. We developed a really close friendship, and thus I became an advisory board member, and I've been working with them for years.
Yeah, no, I would love to know. Talk about their mission and what they do.
So Touching Heart, their mission is to teach children the joy of giving through service. There's a lot of places out there where kids can serve, right? Some middle schoolers demand service hours. So kids are hopefully understanding that they have to do it. But what's different about Touching Heart is that they teach kids from the beginning to the end, almost like a little CEO, almost like a little business. So you're not just showing up with your mom and standing there and doing whatever actions are said to be done. It's not like, okay, just fill these backpacks for 2 hours and like we're done here, you know? No, from beginning to end, they encourage children to think of issues, how you can help, what does it take to help, sit down with a pen and paper. We sit down with the board. You present your idea to the board. They see how they can kind of assist you and help you, but they encourage children to lead the entire endeavor. And two of my kids led really huge events. One was for Loudoun County Foster Care. My daughter, she was eight at the time. And, you know, with mommy's guidance, we talked about who needs help, how can we help them? But we organized a singing competition. We had an abundance. I mean, it was the real deal. Like, it was professional. We places generously let us use their space. Kids sent in their demo tapes. We probably had 50 demo tapes. We probably ended up having 20 kids participate. It was a sold out affair. We raised $5,000 for Loudoun County Foster Care. But from beginning to end, my daughter had to go to the Loudoun County Foster Care office and talk about, well, what are your needs and how can we help you, right? Let's make sure your needs are aligned with what we can give. What can we give that's helpful, right? So it was like really, it was really thoughtful and impactful, and Touching Heart guides children along the way. So she met with Loudoun County Foster Care people several times. Then she went out in the community with little flyers, knocked on the door, and I said, well, I'm not going to do it. I'll stand there with you, but that's the point. Little eight-year-old kids going up and say, hello, my name is so-and-so, and I'm putting together a fundraiser for this and that, and we would really love it if you would partner with us and donate X, Y, or Z. And so she learned how to speak and ask and advocate and explain, what is this for? Who is benefiting from it? How can you partner with us? I have chills just thinking about it. Yeah, it's phenomenal.
And now it's time for our giving tips segment with Bennett Weiner, one of the world's most renowned experts on charity accountability and the COO of the BBB Wise Giving Alliance.
Today, I'd like to talk about summertime giving, opportunities to help charities during the hotter months. So what's available to you as a donor beyond just, you know, making a cash donation to an organization? Well, the obvious one I think that comes to most people's mind is donating goods in terms of your spring cleaning. You give a second chance for something you no longer want to donate to a charity. But I would suggest making sure that the organization can use the item or intends to sell it to, you know, raise funds for it. So make sure that you can make a donation to them and they'll accept it. The other thing is sometimes there are concerts during the summer which claim that they're going to benefit some specified charity. So while you're looking for tickets, keep in mind that the advertising and the promotion should tell you how much of what you're paying is actually going to go to help the charity. Don't assume that it's all going, because that's rarely ever the case. There should be a disclosure, and if you don't see one, certainly ask to find out. And if there's a sponsored charity, you could also go to the charity, because they might know. The other thing that will happen more in the warmer months is face-to-face giving. There may be individuals who may come up to you in shopping areas with an iPad and charity t-shirt on, ask you to donate to some children's charity or a cancer charity or some other type of group. And if you do that, look to see if the individual is wearing clothing with the charity's logo, or maybe has an ID card attached to his neck in some way of verifying that they are indeed affiliated with the organization. And the other thing to keep in mind with these types of gifts is very often these in-person solicitations want you to sign up for automatic monthly donation activity. So keep that in mind if you're agreeing to make a donation in those circumstances. And of course, don't feel pressure to make an immediate gift if that's not what you want to do. Take the time to check out the charity and give at your own convenience when you're home online by visiting our report and the charity's website and verifying the organization meets our standards.
You know, I love this. I love this. And Thad, my producer, is going to be like, now he's not going to talk about the giving problem again. But Elaine, we have a giving crisis right now, at least in terms of giving to institutions. Mm-hmm. We've seen a decline in giving over the last 20 odd years, where Americans were giving at a rate of like 66% of families, down to 49.5% of families. And, you know, there's work going on to try to figure out what's going on. But clearly, there's something happening in our culture. And perhaps efforts like this will turn that around.
Perhaps.
And as long as kids don't feel compelled to do any of this, that they're doing it because they have been taught a lesson by their families that this is something worth doing and helping others. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful that you have young people being taught how to go about running, not only giving something away, but how to think about giving and how to organize an effort and how organizations even operate. Because I think we have a lot of advocates, which is great, but we also need organizations and people thinking about how to give to organizations. So love this. And I got to get the founders on the show here so that we can hear more about that, because I think it's really important. We need to spread that around the world.
Absolutely.
That needs to go around the country if it's not already. So we want to talk about
absolutely. You know, they started local right out of Northern Virginia, but they have, I want to say, Touching Hearts been around for maybe 13, 14 years, and they have raised money for orphanages and all kinds of places all around the world, in Africa and the Philippines. I mean, locally a ton. I mean, they just do so many great things. But it's all about teaching children the joy of giving, next generation. So it's great.
Yeah. So where did so we talked about you actually connecting because of the Mrs. DC America pageant. But what we didn't talk about was why you see giving as so important. And how that was a natural connection for you. And now it seems that is something that you continue with your work as a professional in the broadcast area.
Art, I don't think anyone's ever asked me that before.
Well, you know, that's why, you know, that's why I'm the giving guy. You know?
That's a great question. I suppose it had my mom always volunteered. So probably I watched her do it. I grew up stuffing envelopes for the American Cancer Society. Like, she was always doing that. And I was always doing that with her. So I would say that I was taught that. And, you know, just like Touching Hearts, their whole tagline is the joy of giving. I guess I always found it joyful. I never found it to be a chore, especially when you can align your giving with your interests, or just wherever your heart is pulled, you feel like you're making an impact and it's joyful. So yeah, it's just always been a very natural part of what I've seen and then what I've done. And then I don't even think I intentionally meant to impress that upon my children, but I suppose that I have. Yeah. So Art, I think that I just kind of grew up watching that. And I think that I always just found it joyful. It was really just nothing talked about, but just always a part of my life. And I guess now that I'm talking about it out loud, I realize it's a part of my kids' lives. And I think that's great. I hope more parents and more people are doing that for their kids as well.
Well, you know, again, I think for organizations, they're always trying to figure out how to get more visibility for the work that they're doing. And you have done that. You do a lot of different events for them. You do, sometimes you'll MC events that organizations will have. You'll have them on your show. But how should organizations show up in front of media to get that kind of attention? Is this something that organizations have in front of them that they don't use enough, or is the competition really thick? Mm. What's your sense of what an organization should do to kind of align with the interests of media in airing their particular organizations?
You know, I mean, geez, just like any business, a nonprofit business, I hate to say it, but they need to be doing great marketing if they want to get the word out about what they're doing. At the end of the day, they're always going to need volunteers and support, and that comes with kind of getting their message out. And so I would say that they just really need to spend some time getting their message out, because as great as your work is, if you know, it could be so much better when you get that support and it turns into like this snowball of interest and more people getting involved and more people donating and sponsoring and just growing. So I think just getting out there, getting your message across, reach out to people in media. Reach out. Don't be afraid to do that. Get your story out. I was going to mention, so Rob Scheer is the founder of another great nonprofit called Comfort Cases. His story went viral which is where I saw him. It was just kind of on my feed. And he was so compelling when he spoke. I Googled him. Turns out he's from Gaithersburg.
Wow.
This went viral. You know, I thought, man, for all I know, he's from Montana, California. No idea. He's from Gaithersburg. So I reached out to him via email. He emailed me right back and said, I would love to come on your local community cable show and talk about it. But I'm going on the Ellen DeGeneres show. We're going back 5 years now, right? He says, but I'm going on the Ellen DeGeneres show in a month, and I'm not allowed to go on any other show until I go on her show. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is just so, I just saw him scrolling. That's it, right? So people out there are watching, right? And that was just amazing that he got his message out there. So reach out to people, do everything you can. Social media is everything. That's where I saw him. Yeah.
Well, you have a number of events coming up. Why don't you tell us about what's coming up?
Yeah. So the Joy of Giving Golf Tournament is an annual tournament. I hope I'm not wrong, but it's a 12th or 13th or 14th annual. That's coming up. That's a huge golf tournament where they raise a ton of money to help advance their programs through the year. So that's coming up, and I'll be emceeing that. Just a lot of work going into that. I do a lot with an organization called FAPAC. It's the Federal Asian Pacific American Council. And this is a nonprofit organization that's been around for, I think, about 40 years as well. And it's Asian Americans who support other Asian American people. And you do not have to be Asian to come into any of their conferences, where they just support you in every way you need to be supported. It's really a phenomenal organization. And I MC their event every year as well. I've met so many amazing people. But yeah, if you are part of government in any way and are interested in being supported and learning more and seeing how you could advance your career, they're a great nonprofit to align with. What else is going on? So the last 3 years, I've been asked to MC the Asian Fest on Main Street in downtown Fairfax. It's a beautiful event. It's so well organized, great food, great entertainment. I'm so grateful that they asked me to be part of that, because I also love kind of advancing Asian culture. I'm Filipino, and I just feel like it's great for me to support that and put that out there. And as a matter of fact, when I was guest hosting on Great Day Washington, and it was my interest to get as many kind of diverse talent on there, whether it was a restaurant or a singer or something. I mean, they already do a fantastic job at Great Day Washington, but I thought, well, I know a lot of people, so let's see if we can bring them on and share their stories, share their talent. I'm really proud that I was able to do that.
Well, that's fantastic. Again, I'm just so impressed with how things have evolved for you, and it couldn't happen to a better person, really.
Thanks, Alan. Thank you.
And when I think of the DC region, you know, we're very fortunate to have quite a few people like you who not only look to their profession as a way of sharing information, but as a way of giving back. And I just think that that is maybe not unique to the DC area, but we're certainly better for having individuals like that here and around the world, around the country for sure. So Elaine, I have one last question for you. If you weren't doing this, what would you be doing?
Oh, art. If I wasn't doing this, what would I be doing? I mean, I just love this. I love this so much. This is my dream job. This okay. is when I was the drug rep. It was like, if I wasn't doing that, I'd be doing that. I'd be
got it, got it, got
I would be talking. I would be interviewing people.
Well, I'm not going to press you to answer a question in a way that is not authentic. So
I'm living the dream, Art. This is what I
You're living your dream job. That's what you should be doing. I'm just glad that there's a give back to it. So what would you have to say to others then who are just going about their job every day about how they can contribute?
I would say, please give back. Your world will open up in most amazing ways when you get involved. You get together with just like-minded people who are giving back to the community. I just think that I know that the impact of giving back gives so much to yourself as well. I mean, it just feels good to be doing great things, and then it snowballs, that effort snowballs into such amazing things. And then you get to live in the community where you're giving back. And it's just a beautiful thing. So what I'd have to say is, and you know, intentions are everything, right? We'd all like to. I'd like to do it more, but you got commitments. But tell yourself you're going to do one thing. Just start with one thing. You hear about an event that's some nonprofit event, send an email. How can you show up? How can you just go check it out? Be there. See what it's about. What are your talents? If you don't have money, you can volunteer. You could just show up and volunteer. It's a beautiful thing. I'd love to see some more of that. I welcome anybody to follow what I'm doing and go where I'm going. And let's get you involved.
I'm sure some will. Well, Elaine, listen, I can't thank you enough for agreeing to be on the show today, really. And again, congratulations for all you're doing. And by the way, I know some people will be listening to the show now for the first time because you're on. That's the effect you have on people. And so I want them to know that this is a weekly podcast and they can see a new episode come out every Tuesday. And as you can see, we get really interesting people on who are trying to, in some way, shape change and create better worlds and better lives for people and stronger communities, which we all need, certainly at this time in the evolution of the world. And so you're welcome to hear their stories and maybe find yourself in some of them. So I hope you'll listen. I hope you will subscribe. If you want to support the podcast, the best way to do it is just to go to any major podcast platform where you can find us and subscribe. But you can also make a donation if you choose to by going to give.org, and we'll certainly put anything you give us to great use. So thank you for listening, and I hope we'll see you back here next week.
You've just listened to the Heart of Giving podcast with Art Taylor. Be sure to tune in next time for a brand new episode. To listen to our other interviews, visit heartgiving.podbean.com. That's heartgiving.podbean.com. Subscribe to our show on major podcast platforms. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the BBB Wise Giving Alliance or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Podbean's Terms of Service.